Napa know-how.
It takes a lot to get excited about a bag, but most bags can't save you 20% on auto parts. That's 20% off headlamps, 20% off oil filters, 20% off virtually anything you can fit inside the 99-cent Napa reusable bag. So tell your buddies, there's a bag they just have to check out. Quality parts, helpful people. That's Napa know-how.
Napa know-how.
At participating Napa Auto Parts stores while supplies last. Minimum three items. Exclusions apply. Offer ends 10/31/17.
You are Locked On Pistons, your daily Detroit Pistons podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
Dan Feldman here. Welcome to Locked On Pistons. You can follow Locked On Pistons on Audio Boom or subscribe on iTunes. You can follow me on Twitter at DanFeldmanNBA. Charles Barkley has picked a very prominent fight with LeBron James. LeBron turned it into a fight by shooting back at Barkley, bringing up all of Barkley's past transgressions. Barkley's been very hard on LeBron over the years for what he's done as a player. He's also defended LeBron at times, which gets to something larger about Barkley. But Barkley really picked it up since LeBron has been complaining about the roster in Cleveland. Reports saying that LeBron is upset that Dan Gilbert's not spending enough on the Cavs, and Charles Barkley really went after him for being whiny and not doing his part and complaining too much, and you know, not just taking the roster that's given to him. LeBron fired back, bringing up all these incidents from Barkley's past, getting into bar fights, some things with Barkley and drinking, different stuff. So Barkley's been in the news a little bit for being that loud guy with some strong opinions that generates a lot of controversy. One of his smaller stated opinions came about the Pistons the other day. He said the Pistons have too many players who think they're better than they are. He didn't use any names, but video right afterward they cut to clips of Reggie Jackson and Tobias Harris. And those are the second and third highest players on the team. If you want to take it one step further, you could probably throw Andre Drummond in there. But you know which NBA players aren't as good as they think they are? All of them. All of them. Pretty much every single player in the NBA has an overstated confidence in his own ability because he's been so good for so long, been so good on so many levels, and gotten himself to the highest level. You know how many people want to be in the NBA? I want to be in the NBA. You probably want to be in the NBA. Everybody wants to be in the NBA. Anybody who plays basketball dreams of one day getting to the NBA. These are the people who succeeded. They've obviously succeeded on different levels, and we talk about who's good, who's bad. We're comparing them to other NBA players, but that's not necessarily the mindset players have, or at least to the point they can separate it. They've been the best for so long. They have proven their belief in themselves just by reaching the NBA. That doesn't go away. It takes a certain mentality to get there and thrive there, and that just doesn't go away. So that's something all teams are dealing with. What teams deal with on a different level is when it becomes destructive. When players have an outsized opinion of themselves that affects how they play and makes them play harmfully. Not every player thinks, you know, that they need to take over and dominate the ball and do things like that in a way that can be destructive to the team. Some do. Do the Pistons have more of those players than the average team, than a good team should have? I don't know. I don't really think so. I suppose it's possible. You know, but there are some signs of Barkley being right. We've talked a lot about Reggie Jackson taking too many bad shots, hijacking the offense at times. I think that's an overstated thing. I think the offense is designed for him to get shots. It's not necessarily Reggie Jackson's ego. Tobias Harris, yeah, you know, he can dominate the ball at times, but he has also willingly accepted coming off the bench. He has been a total pro about that from all outward appearances, embraced that role, done well in that role. You know, Andre Drummond, yeah, I think he thinks of himself as maybe a little bit more of a star than he is, but he's also pretty darn good. He's the Pistons' best player by a good margin, has been for a while. In this market, he's a star. If anything, it's a failure on the Pistons not to have more talent around him to maybe raise the bar a little bit to the point that he feels, hey, I am not the unquestioned, nobody's even close number one, to where he's just, yeah, I'm the number one, but if I slip, this other player could take my status on the team. He is clearly the franchise player. When, for clear franchise players, if you stack him up against other clear franchise players, he doesn't hold up that well. Now, that's a tremendously high bar. There's nothing wrong with that. I'm not trying to criticize Drummond for that. But when you look at the other clear franchise players around the league, the LeBron James, Russell Westbrook, Kawhi Leonard, you know, all the way down, Drummond doesn't hold up that well. There are a lot of teams that don't have clear franchise players. You know, Drummond's better than anybody on Orlando, for example, but no Magic player should feel like, yeah, this is built around me. This is built around Andre Drummond, for better or worse. And so he's going to internalize some of that. That's only natural. Gets to the bigger point about Barkley. Don't take Barkley's opinions too seriously. He's entertaining to a lot of people. That's his job. He is going to give the take that he finds that he can deliver in the most entertaining fashion, whether it's fair or accurate or not. Whether it's fair and accurate is just sort of a coincidence. Now, I do think that, yeah, to some degree, he's seriously analyzing the game to him for himself by his own standards, because that's going to make his delivery better. If he's saying something he believes in, it's going to be an easier delivery for him a lot of times. But I'm sure he says plenty of things he doesn't believe, because that's the funnier gambit. That's Barkley's shtick. You got to understand it. Don't take him too seriously. And even when he's presenting something he truly believes, and not that we can tell the difference on the outside, he's not that good of a basketball analyst. Hates advanced stats, hates today's generation, just a crotchety, get off my lawn type. That's not the type of person I'm coming to for quality basketball analysis, even if they are trying to do their best as an analyst. Barkley's not trying to do his best as an analyst. That's not his job. He's great at his job. It's a different type of job, and that job involves fooling some people. Don't be fooled. On to our second topic, something else don't be fooled by, and Stan Van Gundy has talked about this. I did want to hit on his comments on Donald Trump's de facto Muslim ban. Got to call it de facto Muslim ban, not an actual Muslim ban, because some Muslims can still get into this country. This is just a ban from seven countries that are predominantly Muslim, except for, as Trump has promised, the Christians. It's also something Trump has called the Muslim ban repeatedly, or promised. He promised a Muslim ban repeatedly. And then Rudy Giuliani went on TV and bragged about how Trump came to him and said, well, how can we do a Muslim ban that'll pass legal muster? So this is only a de facto Muslim ban, but Stan Van Gundy had some comments on it. Van Gundy said, quote, "We're getting back to the days of putting Japanese in relocation camps, of Hitler registering the Jews. That's where we're heading. It's just fear-mongering to a certain base of people that have some built-in prejudices that aren't fair. There's no reasonable reason to do it, but to some people, it sounds good, and if you have a prejudice against Muslims in general, it sounds really good to you." All right, Van Gundy's rhetoric is a little strong. This is not putting Japanese in relocation camps. Japanese Americans, by the way. This is not Hitler registering the Jews. But it is a step toward those things. It is moving our country in that direction. That's scary. You know, we need to ward off a movement in this direction. This does not make us safer. It makes us less safe. You know, we have a lot of security theater in this country. Things designed to look like they're protecting us, but really don't. This is the worst type of security theater because it makes us more vulnerable. It creates enemies. It creates an impression that we are at war with Islam as opposed to criminals. We are at war with the overall Muslim populace. That's what happens when Trump repeatedly promises a Muslim ban and then does something that looks like it could be a Muslim ban, even if it's not exactly a Muslim ban. So this is a dangerous thing, something that people should be speaking out against. Good for Van Gundy doing it. It's also going to make us less safe because it's going to create resentment from people in those countries that we need to work with. You know, those countries are under siege by a lot of forces, and the everyday people are the ones suffering, the ones who need to escape to stay safe, and we're turning them into the enemy, turning them into threats. It's going to be hard to get cooperation from them, and that's going to make us and our troops less safe. So again, good for Van Gundy for speaking out on this. Not surprising, Van Gundy has spoken his mind on a lot of things, especially anti-Trump things. I don't expect that to stop anytime soon. When these issues come up, Van Gundy's proven himself to be a clear leader on it. And one thing that impressed me, by the way, I was a little surprised that when Greg Popovich spoke out against the ban, that he talked about how it was implemented only, that it was done so rushed through and so scrambled. Nobody really understood what it meant. It was applied arbitrarily in different places and just not well put together, as opposed to just a principled stand against it instead of just the implementation. Van Gundy took a principled stand against it. Lastly, Pistons host the Pelicans tonight. Pistons have lost three in a row. This would be a great opportunity to break that skid. New Orleans played last night in Chicago. Coming on a back-to-back, not being as good as Detroit, playing in Detroit, in Auburn Hills for now. Yeah, you gotta think the Pistons win this game. But the Pistons have just lost three straight in games that seemed much more winnable. Not necessarily in this game, but fairly winnable. Hosting the Kings, playing at Miami, who got hot all of a sudden. At Boston's a little tougher, but the Pistons were down. We're in that one until the end. The Pelicans, of course, are led by Anthony Davis, who had a phenomenal 50-something point game last year. He does it all for them. He's great. He wasn't so great against the Bulls, but the odds of him producing two duds in a row are not great. His supporting cast, really up and down. This whole team is up and down. The Pelicans are capable of being pretty good on some nights and really lousy on more nights. There's just nobody dependable around him. The Pelicans have a lot of players who can be good, who can hit their stride. Drew Holiday is probably the best among them. Beyond that, some role players with not high ceilings. Solomon Hill can be up and down a little bit. Buddy Hield has been up and down. Terrence Jones has been up and down. The Pelicans also have Donatas Motiejunas, who I'm sure you remember as the guy the Pistons traded for last year with the Rockets and then voided the trade because Motiejunas failed his physical. Led to a whirlwind for Motiejunas of, one, blaming Van Gundy for not treating him fairly, and then hitting restricted free agency, not getting an offer for a long time, eventually signing an offer sheet with the Nets, didn't report to his physical with the Rockets. That offer sheet got voided, signed a new deal with Houston, failed his physical for that, eventually became an unrestricted free agent because the Rockets just said enough. They could have kept him a restricted free agent, but just it wasn't even worth it at that point. And so now he's with the Pelicans. Probably will be looking for revenge. We'll see how he does. We'll see how the rest of the Pelicans do. We'll see how the Pistons do. We'll be back tomorrow. You can follow Locked On Pistons on Audioboom or subscribe on iTunes. You can follow me on Twitter at DanFeldmanNBA. Thanks for listening.
Napa Know How.
It takes a lot to get excited about a bag, but most bags can't save you 20% on auto parts. That's 20% off headlamps, 20% off oil filters, 20% off virtually anything you can fit inside the 99-cent Napa reusable bag. So tell your buddies, there's a bag they just have to check out. Quality parts, helpful people. That's Napa Know How.
Napa Know How.
At participating Napa Auto Parts stores while supplies last. Minimum three items. Exclusions apply. Offer ends 10/31/17.